Sure. I was in your hand. Hi,
Max Boyle.
This is a question for Richardson and Cooper that I'd like everybody to comment on as well. Representative Hooper, you've taken thousands in campaign contributions from red light camera companies over the last several years, including a contribution in this race. And in the legislature, you sponsored bills for them and actively protected their interests. If elected to the county commission, would you push to put red light cameras on county roads?
I said to check and make sure. Thank you very much for the question. I believe in red light cameras. And not from a revenue source. I believe in it from a safety perspective. And I'll tell you this. I've spooned many people out of T-bone collisions over my career of 28 years in emergency services. I've never spooned anybody out of a car because of a rear end collision. They save lives or I would not be supporting them. Now, that being said, Pinellas County does not have one red light camera in its boundaries. The sheriff is very much opposed to that. I'm okay with that. That's a decision that each level of government makes on their own. Nobody forces red light cameras on any level of government. When that government makes that decision voluntarily and proceeds with that, I think that's a decision that ought to be left to that local level of government. And if Pinellas County, by majority, chooses no, I'm very fine with that.
Thank you. I think you raise an important issue about contributions because I think we do have a very troubling situation. As I said in my statement, when we see big special interest donors and corporate donors funneling millions and millions of dollars into the campaign coffers of the leadership and legislators in Tallahassee, and we get policies that follow suit. It is a pay-to-play culture that is vile and corrupt. As it relates to the issue I was closing on before the bell came on the Duke Energy issue, I've called on my opponent to return his contributions from Duke and other utility companies. I don't think it's right for any legislator of any party to accept campaign contributions from a regulated industry such as that. And I think if you look at my contributions and my opponent's, he's got hundreds of thousands of dollars from special interests. We've got hundreds and hundreds of grassroots donations from folks all around Tampa Bay, and that's what my interest will buy, fighting for middle class families here in Tampa Bay.
Okay, well, I would not, as a county commissioner, push for red light cameras on county roads. I agree with my colleague here about campaign contributions and how, or actually consulting fees and how they might influence votes or actions we take in our elected office. I think that's a huge concern.
I'm in the city of Dunedin, we've taken the position not to do red light cameras, and it was certainly our choice, and the residents certainly supported that. And I definitely am all about home rule and allowing folks to do what they want in their communities, and I would not be pushing that at the county level either. Certainly I'm open to looking at the statistics as they come forward and start changing on that front, but at this point I would not be pushing that. As to the campaign contributions, it's just, I think it's been something that's been with us forever. I think we have to have some kind of regulations on it, but until they are, each of us have to answer to ourselves and to who we are as people, the character that we bring to the job every day. At some point in time, hopeful that there will be some kind of reform on that front, but at this point, obviously, we do the best we can and try to get the word out to as many folks as we can about who we are as candidates and how we intend to service each of our residents.
As far as the red light cameras go, I travel twice a day. My wife travels twice a day to the city of Baltimore to take our children to school, and they have a field over there. But I think that it's on a looking basis, deciding what area or intersections you're talking about. Obviously, as Mr. Hooper said, you have to talk about the police force. So it is on a kind of need basis. I would never pull it out if it was need to, because at the end of the day, you still want to save lives. And as our county begins to populate in other areas, it's something we have to look at. In regarding to PAC money or special interest money or those type of things, I'm proud to say, you can look at my record, it's online, it's with the elections office. People want to make a contribution to my campaign, that's great. If not, I've self-funded, and that's because not so much I have all this money, but I know about the issues of people and not to the parties and special interests. So I've never accepted PAC money, and I won't. Thank you.
Again, my name is Marcus Harrison. I don't support the red light cameras, but I wouldn't totally rule them out just because, as some of the others have indicated, it is another tool in the toolbox if the statistics are there as needed. So, as a tool, yes, I would probably support it if it was justified, but most likely I don't recommend it, I don't support it. With campaign contributions, I don't believe in those kind of campaign contributions with big industries, targeted industries. Believe in honesty and integrity in the office. I think there was a recent USF study that said right now most voters are disenfranchised with the electorate right now, and so most of it's because of honesty and integrity. So I would bring that to the office. That's what we were preached in the Navy. And thank you. And what was preached in the Navy, that honesty and integrity and doing what you have to do for the job. Thank you.
Thank you. Shortly after I was elected to the Fire Commission East Lake, we actually passed a resolution to try and get red light cameras on East Lake Road. We'll get to that question later, so just got that one, right? So what we've done is, unfortunately, and very fortunately, East Lake is different than the rest of the county. Each area of this county has its own character. Our character is our location of Pasco County, and we're kind of the Budapest of Pinellas, because we're bisected by East Lake Road. And people don't see a community with three schools, a library, a YMCA, a grocery store, people that actually live there. They see eight traffic lights that they want to beat. And what happens is there are wrecks all the time. And there's death at every one of our traffic lights, pedestrian death in some of them. So the numbers bear out. And red light cameras do modify behavior. And I won't be able to finish everything, but to the point that Oldsmar has had a successful experiment to where they actually have to move the cameras because they're no longer generating revenue. And that's all the time I have.
Gene? I'm Gene Stern, and I'd like each candidate to answer this without any elaboration. But please give us your name so we can remember who you are. Please give us your name so we know, remember who you are. Just give us a yay or nay for green light panels.
Mark Weinkrantz, yes. Marcus Harrison, no.
Carl Goldman, no.
Dave Eckers, yes.
Judith Ann McLaughlin, yes.
Ed Hooper, no.
Pat Gerard, yes.
Marilyn Miller. This question is for Ms. McLaughlin, since she's the only one here running for the legislature. With Florida having 13 of the only 21 dog tracks left in the United States, the legislature has failed to give the Division of Paramutual Wagering the powers they need to protect the animals and the integrity of the sport. If elected, will you stand up to the powerful gambling lobby and give a green light to banning dog racing in Florida?
Thank you for your question. I think the legislature kind of put off dealing with the issue of gambling this session. I would support decoupling the gambling from dog racing so that we don't have to put the dog tracks in a position to run the dogs and to hurt lives unnecessarily.
Jim Gillespie. In 2012, County issued a public health report that identified at least five zip code areas that were stricken with poverty, poor child education, poor health, lack of transportation, and other social systems. I'd like any of you or all of you to to name at least three of those zip codes, and or if you can't name the zip code, identify three of the areas geographically. I don't know the zip codes. South St. Petersburg, Leoman, and Greenwood area, Clearwater.
And I'll add Tarpon Springs to that as well. There's an area up there.
I would add High Point Ridgecrest.
Thanks.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to meet you. My name is Daryl Hamill, and this question is for the candidates for County Commission. Transportation is near and dear to my heart. Everybody keeps talking about Greenlight Pinellas, but can we put that to the side for a minute? And what I would like to really hear from you folks is either a priority or what you think of timing the lights, the red lights, the green lights, whatever, in Pinellas County on the whole to help. You know, if 5% use public transportation, what about the 95% of us? What about the rest of us? And actually, just so you guys know, my name is Daryl Hamill. You may see me in the future addressing you on the podium regarding this because, like I said, I think it's very important. It works very well in St. Pete. Works great in downtown Tampa. And I hear nobody talking about this, so please.
If I'm not mistaken, they're running algorithms all the time to look at the timing of lights. But let me just pivot a little bit on this. If green light moves forward and we put 60 people on a bus, that's 60 less people that have to go through the traffic light with you. And that's the way we need to think about this moving forward, is giving options to people to clear up the roads. We can't build our way out of congestion. But absolutely, the study should be, continue to be done to examine how the time lights best to serve the public.
Again, my name is Marcus Harrison. With that, we do have intelligent traffic systems. It's not throughout all of the county. Obviously, we have commercial municipalities, so each one of them has control over some portions of it. So there needs to be better working relationships with that. We do need to improve that. I would also go further with our EMS. Our ambulances do not have any capability of controlling the lights right now. So they have to struggle through an intersection when there's that. You know, our fire departments do, but the ambulances do not. You know, we do need better control and intelligent traffic control systems that can be implemented and throughout all of the county, not just in specific areas. Thank you.
Well, it's a great question. It was 3 years ago, I was told by the acting county commissioner that we were having synchronized lights going up in Mullen Booth Road. And I traveled that a lot, too. And I still wait long and long and long times for it and stuff. So I'm not sure whether they were done or actually done or whether that was just good campaigning talk and stuff. But I agree with you. We do need a good study. Now, Pinellas County, when I was over there in Pinellas, they actually have a group of people that go and they look at these things and they identify all these things. But you got to act, ladies and gentlemen. You can't just sit and talk about it. We all sit in these red lights day in and day out. By the way, too, we talk about the green light in between there. What happens when we put in a light rail system? How is that going to add to the confusion? By a light rail train going by here in St. Petersburg. These are all the issues that you do have to look at in between here. What about if we implement a rapid bus system? How much longer will that cause congestion? It's a great question, and it needs to be addressed.
And certainly, in the most densely populated county in Florida, the systems that we've started and have in place should be working, and in a lot of places should be working better. We found that in our interaction with the county on 580 and W, it's been a real effort to try to keep adapting the system a little bit better so that we have a better response. But yeah, it needs some work still, and I think that that's the direction we all need to be committed to. Certainly one of the big problems we have here is the congestion issue. So.
The answer to the question is there's three systems in this county. Pinellas County has the biggest system, the city of St. Petersburg has a system, and the city of Clearwater has a system. So there's only three, and they are not interconnected with each other. The county system controls also all the state roads and all the county designated roads, no matter which municipality. So they don't talk to each other as well as they should. And one of the things that this county needs to solve is let's figure out whether we have green light, blue light, I don't care what light we have. There's still going to be people driving their cars, and the way to get people to and from is to coordinate between all the municipalities and the county how those traffic lights are timed so that you at least have some consistency going from point A to point B. That's the only way to solve the problem.
Well, I would share your passion for timed traffic lights. It's almost a pleasure driving in St. Petersburg when you're in sync with those lights. And I would say of the three systems, St. Pete has it down. And I think the other two should consult with them about how the heck they did that, because it works every day, all the time. And you're right, we've spent millions and millions of dollars on the intelligent transportation system, and we still have nothing on the main roads in this area.
Linda,
okay, yeah, I appreciate it. For those of you who are pro life, Pinellas, how would you propose that single moms with kids get to work and get to childcare without a car?
I was the opposition. You know, I would also thank you, Linda, for the question. There is a solution to helping us get our transportation, our bus service expanded. I just don't think having the highest sales tax rate in the state of Florida is the solution that are going to help Pinellas businesses and the opportunity to attract people to come here. I would ask you to think about also, how are we going to help those same mothers when now they have to pay additional sales tax on everything that they purchase except food, rent, and medicine? So they're not all positives, they're not all negatives. They're going to pay more out of their pocket irregardless, and they're still going to have a bus to ride.
Well, I agree with that there, too. Again, it's not such a being against mass transit, but you have to understand that the proposal is the proposal. There's things that you don't like, there's things that you like, but it either is yes or no. There's no going down the path and saying, well, I'll agree with this, we need to change all that. I think there's an opportunity in this county to really do something within the bus system. It does need some revamping up in between there. You know, I was in Disney about 3 weeks ago. It's amazing how a Disney bus would stop every 14 minutes at a particular stop, move people throughout the parks and all that type of thing. There's a model out there. There's a way we can do this, but we need to do this in steps. And certainly not being the highest sales tax in Florida is a great way to lead that. That hurts people more than anything.
My name is Marcus Harrison, and I do oppose it. It is an ultimatum. Ultimately, what they're telling us is we either need rail or we need to cut our bus services. Right. I believe in public transportation. I think there's a lot of other models out there that are better. We don't need the fixed rail component. That's a very expensive proposition that is not going to actually help transportation that much. Okay, it's going to be limited and very targeted. It's more about transit-oriented development. What we do need is better transportation. We need more education on public transportation and how to utilize it. We could use connector buses. We could take and utilize them as dedicated shuttles businesses that would want to provide that. There are a lot of other alternatives available. We don't need the fixed rail component, which is very expensive, but basically they're giving it to us as an alternative. Either we're for it or against it. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner?
Thank you. Ken Welch. I didn't plan this with Linda, but we are timing the lights. Important to note that we're the second highest sales tax right now at 7 versus 7.5%. The question is, PSTA is almost at our millage cap. We cannot raise more money to implement these bus system improvements. So for the folks that said no, what specifically do you propose to improve transit in our community? How would you pay?
Again, my name is Marcus Harrison. Well, first of all, I wouldn't put it as an ultimatum with the rail component. I think we should have proposed a
increase, if anything, sales tax or quarter sales tax on whatever they were actually needed, and what the plan would be to add additional bus services and provide the needed services we need. Right now, I don't think it's effective. We're on a hub system. They know they need to go to a grid system. What is that really going to cost? Give us a real cost analysis of what we need to provide buses and better transportation and to educate people how to utilize it and do that. I think we need to target businesses like Raymond James, the big industry, that has a lot of people that are working there that would be willing to utilize it. If we went to the businesses and said, how many people can you give me that will take a shuttle going to North County, South County, wherever the case, we'll provide a PST, provide a dedicated service to that, and we'll get most of the traffic off the road. Thank you.
Well, there's lots of other things that are happening out there, too. You have the Java Trolley, you have the North County Connector. I think the overall bus system does need to be looked at. Folks, there's issues out there with it. You've seen in the papers in between them regarding the bus depot, and others talk about money having to go to that because there's an error in the legal side of it. There's been problems with the PSDA regarding the buses and inspection. You can't just keep throwing money at problems. By the way, too, I'd love to remind everybody that 4 years ago, our county, when the housing market was going like that, had almost $972 million. And I kept trying to say to everybody, where's the money going? Where's the money going? The county commissioners had money out there. Where did it go? Ask the question out there. You can have a nice transportation system now. And just, it went out someplace, it's been out somewhere. The questions are, you want a nice rail system, you want a nice bus system, it needs to be put specifically to the people of Pinellas County with the facts, with the density populations. Those are the questions that need to be asked. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, for the question. There is a solution, folks, and it's this. In 2 years, you're going to be asked to approve for now the fourth time, Penny for Pinellas. That's an infrastructure tax. You may get asked to allow the government to use that money for operation and maintenance. That's wages. The promise they made you 30 years ago almost that they would not do. So my solution, let's use either half of that 1 cent, or I wouldn't be opposed to using all of that 1 cent to fix our transportation needs. It still generates the same amount of money. It doesn't put the tax burden on all of us. And yes, we're at 7%, tied for second with about 20 other counties, so we are tied for second. I don't strive to have to be tied or be sitting alone at number one with 8% sales tax and put the burden on our citizens to carry that cost, no matter how small that extra cost is.
For the ones of you that voted not to support Green Light Pinellas, I want you to explain to me, you spoke about businesses and economic development and all that. Explain to me, what are you going to do on county commission about that waste plant that lays beneath that bridge on US 19? All those businesses that have been shuttled because you raised the traffic and depending on all them because we're built out. Explain to me how you're going to fix that.
What's the ones who voted against the ones who were green light?
That's a good question. Obviously, putting in US 19 did hurt a lot of businesses, but I think there is a way to target those areas. People have driving habits changes, and they're used to changes, or they're used to habits. They're not like changes, but the businesses that are in there, people go to like Best Buy, going to Tiger Direct, whatever the case may be, they know where they are. When they want to go to it, they're going to go to it. Is it a little bit less convenient? Yes. But we can bring in businesses. Those can be areas. We have cottage industries. We have like 3D printing. That's a market that is coming and emerging up right now that can be brought in and fill in any kind of space because it doesn't require a lot of specific infrastructure and yet can provide a lot of opportunity for business and manufacturing. So there are alternatives. I'm not sure how it relates to Green Light Pinellas directly, but with that, thank you very much.
Well, the overpasses, for those that had to go through that, we have another one come up in Northern Pinellas, which is going to be along the Curlew area when they finally do get to that. And it is a traffic mess. But, you know, businesses do survive. Some don't. There's a Home Depot right there at US 19 in Curlew. And, you know, people will find their way to the Home Depot. I have no doubt about that. As far as the green light tied into that, I don't know if that's necessarily going to add or subtract to that in between there. But I will say that when you're trying to get from the south part of the county up to the areas where we do have those overpasses, it does flow much, much quicker than it was when I first came to this county. And I would sit at 60 and Gulf to Bay, and you'd wait 15 to 20 minutes before you could get through the stoplight. So I think some of the overpasses do help tremendously.
Council member, those wastelands under those bridges on US 19 won't carry a bus either, so that's not the solution. The solution is, today, we can have dedicated bus lanes that are tied strictly to bus traffic, so they don't have to sit in traffic like every one of us in our automobile. That's achievable today. That don't take some grandiose big new plan to do. We can do that. But just because US 19 has overpasses, I don't fix anything because buses or trains aren't going under my.
Harvey Landers. This is directed to Mr. Harrison and Mr. Folkman and any other candidate who feels that spending is out of control or needs to be controlled and taxes need to be lowered. Specifically, how much money do you think you can lower in taxes and where would you make those cuts specifically?
Again, Marcus Harrison. I believe in tax cuts where we can. What people don't realize is that as our property taxes or property values go up, if we continue to allow that and utilizing that revenue, that is a tax increase. So if we stop, basically keep our spending where it's at, then we're at least holding the line or reducing taxes in that regard. With the taxes, what I believe in is fiscal responsibility and making sure we get what we pay for. I want to make sure that if we're buying a component, buying this, or contracting a contractor to come in and do this, that we get what we've contracted for in the specification. Too many times I go out and do jobs and look at the specifications and they're not being met and we don't do anything about that. Thank you.
Well, again, you know, as I mentioned about the money before, that's gone, so that's gone. I can tell you where we should make cuts, and that is our Veterans Administration, right off the start. But, you know, I looked at the county budget a few years back, and I kind of line-itemed everything in between that you could cut. And I'm amazed that when you go to people and you say, do you see this? Do you see what you pay for here? Do you see where the county pays all this money to have magazines and county offices and newspapers and all these things out there, and when you're having a $2.4 billion budget, it seems like pennies. Even on my own street, I had county people that came out and they dug the water ditches. And while they sat there and dug the water ditches, another group of people came out and they put the sod out. Two different sides, by the way. And somebody else came out and they were trimming all the trees here. There's a lot of consolidation that can be done in the budget if you take the time to go through and look at it, but you don't hurt people by doing it, especially veterans.
Well, I have a little track record on taxes, and I'll be glad to share it with you. I'm proud to have been in a position in the last 8 years that have doubled your homestead exemption, have allowed you to port your Save Our Homes cap if you want to buy a new home. It's also nice this year that you're getting back $500 million of your money that the state had no business spending. It's also nice that starting tomorrow, if you want to buy a new energy-efficient appliance, you get the first $1,500 of that sales tax free. If you own a business, you buy a piece of machinery, you don't pay sales tax on that machinery. Every one of those creates several jobs, but you save that sales tax. We need to cut. Taxes are not good. When you raise taxes, you hurt the entire economy. Every time you can lower the cost on our citizens, I'll be in favor of that.
This is last question.
Yes.
Wait. Please stand up.
Stand up. Oh,
sorry. That's not enough.
I was so anxious. Hold on. Thank you. Anyway, it's Bonnie Slern. This question is for Judith Ann McLaughlin, who's running for state senate. And it's a question that we get every week here. But as you know, Judith Ann, there are 700,000 to a million Floridians who are currently uninsured or not have access to healthcare insurance. because we turned away the $52 billion over 10 years of Medicaid expansion money. The House did, in fact, voted against us and has been very strongly against expanding Medicaid. If you, when you're elected and you go to the House, or if you get elected and go to the House, what would your plan be? How do you feel on Medicaid expansion?
Thank you very much for the question. That issue actually catapulted me into this race. I believe passionately that we must accept that $52 billion to help our Floridians have access to the health care that they need. Accepting the Medicaid expansion funds will create jobs, it will save lives, it will save money. There's nearly a million Floridians right now without access to the care that they need. There was a compromise bill in the Senate proposed by Senator Nangmah, and every senator voted for that plan except for one, and that's my opponent. I believe, again, very strongly, we must accept that money. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Each candidate will have 2 minutes to make closing remarks. How do we put the districts together? How about if we start here with this way?
Well, first of all, thank you again for having us here. It's just great getting down into this beautiful city and getting a chance to enjoy it. The many aspects of it. I'm really, as I said before, really honored to be being considered for this really important position. And I think my position as an elected official for the last 11 years brings some reality to the table. By working with the MPO-PPC, at least I have some skin in the game as far as the plans that are on the table for transportation, and understand the difficulty of putting together the perfect plan. Issues like jobs and transit, homelessness, that we've really tried to attack in a small way in Dunedin, are all part of what I'm excited about trying to be, to try to take my thoughts and efforts to the county level. It's about jobs, it's about transportation, it's about keeping businesses here, it's about trying to get new businesses, but we need to work regionally as we talked about on that front. It's about trying to keep sports franchises in the area, I think that's a regional discussion as well. But I think there's something else that we need to have. We need to have the right temperament, the right types of people in the position. Ones that are willing and excited about working together to do the right things for our residents. But at the same time, not afraid to go alone, because there's many issues that you sometimes are out there all by yourself, and that has to happen sometimes. But then, on the other hand, I think the residents of this county want us working together for their betterment. And I think, in general, people in this county are pretty happy. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done on economic development, on transportation, on homeless issues, on the environment. We've got to stay steady, we've got to stay alert, and try to continue in this county to be greater than the sum of its parts. The cities that make up this county make it a special place to be, but it can be better. Thank you. Dave Edwards, Mayor of Edwards.
We have a lot of interesting things coming up here that's going to face Pinellas County. My wife is a native of St. Petersburg. My wife is a native of St. Petersburg. She was born and raised out there in Terre Verde, so we have a lot of grassroots here in Pinellas County. And somebody said to me earlier, they said, well, what's your investment in here? And I said, you know what? Every time I get up in the morning and I look at two boys, 9 and 10, and I see the future of Pinellas County and create a better county for them, a better environment for them to live and grow, and hopefully someday their children will continue to live and grow here in Pinellas County. Jobs are a big issue here. That is the lifeblood of Pinellas County here. We have to be able to attract those companies, not by increasing sales tax out here. We need to be able to educate people out there. Homelessness is an issue out there. We need to be able to offer to those people not just a safe place to come and have to sleep and to eat, but a way to get out of poverty and help. One out of four homeless are veterans, by the way, which is sad enough by itself. We do need to help these people out there. There is a lot of issues going on, but at the end of the day, it is about working together. That's why I decided to become an NPA. Because it's not about the parties, ladies and gentlemen. It's about you, the people, and it's about the issues. And if there's any question about that, you can go back and even look at our local meetings. That the NPA party is the biggest growing party right now in the state of Florida. Why is that? Because people are tired of the fighting going back between the Republican and Democratic parties. You see it on the federal level, you see it on our state level, and sometimes, quite frankly, you see it right here in Pinellas County. Let's leave all that behind, and let's fix Pinellas County, and let's make it a better place for all of us, our children, our family, everybody that's here. Thank you.
Again, my name is Marcus Harrison, running as county commissioner, no party affiliation, and again, I have not been associated with any party since I've been out of the club. I want to thank you for having us out here today and giving us the chance to talk to you, to speak to you. I do believe that we have a great community. One of the issues is jobs, and I think that it's not really being addressed properly. Our transient ordinance development, trying to bring in the light rail, is okay. We're hoping to bring that in, build it, and they'll come. But I don't want more people here because I think we already have enough population. We don't have enough jobs to support the community that we have, not the higher paying jobs. I think we need to rebrand ourselves. I think we need to have a vision for what we want to be. We know we're a tourist destination, so we need to continue to market that. But from a job standpoint, we don't have a lot of land to bring in, a lot of big manufacturing. So what's the option? We can support a lot more R&D research. We can do a lot more in that regards to the cottage industries. We need to have businesses that are coming in here and doing that. We need to provide a level playing field for all our businesses, whether it's a small business or a large business. I don't think we need to be picking and choosing who gets the tax breaks. So with that in mind, I think we need to look for a better vision, and I bring that to the board, or would bring that to the board if I get elected. We represent all of Pinellas County, not just the district that we're in if we're elected. But I would like to be able to do that. I'd like to make sure we get the money, what's being spent, and properly, and utilize our taxes and try to keep our money in the pockets of our citizens. Thank you for this today. And if you have any questions, please come and see me afterwards. Again, Marcus Harrison for County Commissioner.
For allowing us to come in today, and I almost wish I had said no on green light so I could have gotten more time on the microphone earlier. Yeah, there's been just one critique about my candidacy. It's not my expertise, it's not my drive, it's not my knowledge or my ability to get things done. I have a great history of getting things done. I'm not the most experienced. And honestly, I am not the most experienced politician in my race. But my experience is a little different. We all bring something different to the game. My experience goes back to zipping up a flight suit and tying my boots and getting ready to go to work, knowing two of my buddies died the day before, doing the exact same job that I was about to go back to when I climbed in the cockpit. My experience goes to mentoring across the county and sitting across a picnic table from a 10-year-old kid that came out of 5 days of being Baker active because his mother, an exotic dancer, decided it was easier to lock him up than get to and care for him in the evening. My experience goes to seeing how the economy plummeted after 9/11 because people were uncomfortable flying in the airplanes. And I took it upon myself to be one of the first groups to go out to New Mexico on my time and my dime to learn to defend the cockpit with a firearm. And in the process, given the responsibility and the license to use lethal force. These are all very heady things. And we bring it back down, I still remember, and it's my experience, looking under the cushions of my couch when I was in college, because I had no money, trying to get together 10 pennies so I could buy 4-day-old bread at the return store for where the baked goods came back. None of this stuff will ever leave my mind. It's part of my experiences. You have your own experiences. I am a person that gets things done. I am focused on doing the best I can for the county, energizing the people to be enfranchised. I proved it up on my record up in Eastlake and in all the nonprofits I've worked for across this county. My name is Mark Weinkrantz, and I appreciate your support and your vote between now and November 4th. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Tiger Bay, too, and especially for my very first part of politician bug, although I've been here many, many times before. I just want to say, you know, in human services, we look at the person in front of us and say, how can I help this person long term? What's the best thing I can do for this person? And I think in government, we do the same thing. We look around our community and say, what's the best thing I can do for my community long term? Not for my friend, not for my party, not for the person that gave me the biggest donation, but because we don't need that kind of politics on our county commission. I want to counter something that my opponent said about using local option sales tax for transportation. For one thing, you can't do that now. And I'm not one of those that's in favor of using lost funds for operating expenses. The only thing you can use it for now is capital expenses. Some of those capital expenses are police cars and fire engines and stormwater projects, which those of you who got 4 inches of rain in 6 hours yesterday will appreciate. So I'm not in favor of using the lost funds for that. Some of the things that I'd like to do when I get on the county commission is work on being more business friendly with our small businesses, like I did in Largo. Certainly, I agree that we need to restore the veteran service offices to where it was. It was almost criminal that they cut those funds like they did, and I told them that myself. Also, I don't know if you realize it, but the parks also took a 50% cut during the recession, and that is a jewel in our county. We need to take care of them. We need to make sure that they're properly maintained. Catcherard.com, I'd love to have your room. Thanks.
Thank you, Tiger Bay, for the opportunity. Thank you for caring enough about your government to come sit through lunch and listen to a bunch of politicians talk. That's not always the easiest thing. Here's what's important. 2 out of every 3 of us live in a city. 24 municipalities in this small county we call Pinellas. And we all need to be on the same team. We need to help each other do better. And we don't do that as well as we could or should. And we have to do better. It's just us, folks, and we need to be all pulling the same way. And that's a commitment that I think is important for anybody asking for your vote to make. It's like, this is not about Pinellas County government, and we're against the cities and the special districts, and you can't do this, because let's all work together. And the more we do that, the better place this will be to live, play, work, and raise your family. This is paradise. That's why we're all here. Let's make it paradise plus. Go to electedhooper.com. You will see all of my platform. You will see what I care about. You will see what I promote to do and how to do it. You will see an extremely long list of endorsements. Extremely long. You will see everything, and you will also see a way to contact me if you have any questions about any issue. I'll be glad to talk to anybody at length, because you are a constituent to a lot of people. Thank you for your care, your concern, your attention. Thank you for a lovely lunch and my 8th coffee cup that I look forward to. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much again, Tiger Bay, for including me in this forum today. I'm Judith Ann McLaughlin, running for State Senate District 22, because I think we need to bring change to Tallahassee. I think we need to put middle-class families first. Those who I think have been taken to the woodshed, quite frankly, are kids who want to go to quality public schools. Those who have been taken to the woodshed are those without access to health insurance, because our legislature refused to take the Medicaid expansion funding. We're taken to the woodshed every month when we pay our utility bills, when we're paying the nuclear cost recovery fee for a power plant that will never be built. If you vote to send me to the Florida Senate, I will put middle-class families first every day. Please go to villagejapan.com for more information. I hope I earned your support. Thank you.
Thank you, candidates, and that was fast. As a token of our appreciation, I'd like to present you with those title cards. Take your eighth, and if we run out, we'll go to get some more.
That brings us to the end of our live webcast from the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club, meeting today at the St. Pete Yacht Club in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. A couple of reminders, tomorrow at the noon hour beginning at 11:30, we will bring you a live coverage for a bit of a change of pace of the Tampa Bay Rays Awards, sponsored by the Clutch Hitters, as well as the Tampa Bay chapter of the Baseball Writers Association of America. On the podium tomorrow will be David Feaster, Bob Milek from the Clutch Hitters, as well as Mark Topkin, the beat writer of the Tampa Bay Times for the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Rays radio crew of Dave Wills and Andy Free. All of it from the Hilton, downtown St. Petersburg, beginning tomorrow morning at 11:30 Eastern Time, the Tampa Bay Rays Awards. Our next broadcast from the Tiger Bay Club will come up on October the 8th from here at the Yacht Club when Florida attorney John Morgan, Morgan & Morgan, will appear, a proponent of medical marijuana. And we expect that will be an interesting presentation, which you will hear live exclusively here on RadioSt.Pete.com on October the 8th, beginning at 12:05 p.m. Eastern Time. You've been listening to live event coverage from RadioSt.Pete.com, the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club, candidates for the Pinellas County Commission, as well as one candidate, Ms. McLaughlin, for the State Senate here in Florida. We hope you were able to hear all or most of the program. We were on our backup audio circuit, and we apologize for that, but these things happen from time to time. Anyway, hope you've enjoyed the broadcast, and we'll stay tuned to RadioSt.Pete.com. You can always find out by clicking over to our main website all of the upcoming live event coverage that we feature on this station. And don't forget to begin tuning in for historic Meet the Press broadcast beginning this Sunday on Radio St. Pete at 9:05 a.m. We will bring you on Meet the Press this Sunday John F. Kennedy, Senator from Massachusetts, as he appeared a few days after he declared for the 1960 presidential election. And that will be Sunday on RadioSt.Pete.com at 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time. So for now, this is Joe Bordeaux speaking from the St. Pete Yacht Club. Thanks for listening. We return you now to our studio.
From the Radiology News Center, I'm Nick Busco. The American ambassador to the UN wants action against ISIS, even without a current threat to the U.S.
We have seen with the beheadings of our young journalists and with the expansionist ambitions that ISIL has, their intention to move everywhere they can. And we've seen what will happen to any American that crosses their path.
Samantha Power on CBS This Morning Today. She says Secretary of State John Kerry meets with the countries involved in the coalition against ISIS tomorrow. The House has forwarded to the Senate a measure to train and arm 5,000 Syrian rebels. The $500 million bill would help them fight ISIS. The president has authorized airstrikes against ISIS targets in Iraq and Syria, calling the rebels a necessary component in counterterrorism. Still in Washington, Ukraine's president pitches both President Obama and Congress today to help his country fight what he calls Russian aggression. He meets with President Obama before addressing a joint session. Hall of Fame wide receiver Jerry Rice says the National Football League has dropped the ball on domestic violence.
It's very important to let people know that, you know, we're just not going to tolerate that. And the players, they need to recognize that, hey, look, if I do something like that, I'm going to get suspended or, you know, I could be banned from the league.
Rice says players accused of domestic violence should stay off the field until their cases run through the legal system. Meanwhile, another player stepped away from the field. Carolina Panthers defensive end Greg Hardy has taken a voluntary leave of absence in light of his domestic violence case. He waits a November jury trial. He's appealed a judge's guilty verdict from July that he assaulted his ex-girlfriend. Former Vice President Dan Quayle believes that in the very end, Scots tonight ultimately decide to stay in the UK because of the potential international repercussions.
And the reason is because it will start a domino effect. You know, who's next? Is it Northern Ireland? Is it Wales? Is it Catalonia?
Final polls ahead of today's independence vote show Scottish voters split in half. Even former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown hopes his home country remains with the UK. You're up to date. For the Radionomy News Center, I'm Nick Busco.
At Healthy Families Florida, 93% of children in our program are fully immunized by age 2. To learn how Healthy Families Florida can help you and your child, call 1-800-FLA-LOVE. Sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida and the State of Florida Department of Children and Families. Mothers enrolled in Healthy Families Florida, many of them single parents, are more likely to read to their children. To learn how we can help you and your child, call 1-800-FLA-LOVE. Sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida and the State of Florida Department of Children and Families.
Saturday night, a free suggestion for fans of Kenny Chesney. You can hear Pirate Flag, a great Kenny Chesney tribute band, performing